Thank you for listening to another episode of the Shed Geek Podcast here at Union Grove Lumber Studios.
To know more about the Shed Geek Podcast, visit us at shedgeek.com.
And for all your lumber needs, call one of the team members at 704-539-5506 or visit us online at uniongrovelumber.com.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Shed Geek Podcast. Much anticipated or at least long awaited podcast here today. We talked, over a year ago or something?
Something like that.
And then I show up only to be like, oh my goodness, you guys are doing it big. And I had no idea, and that's amazing, and I'm happy for you. You guys want to introduce yourself, who you are, and a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, my name is Colton Croft, CEO of Saddlebrook Life here in Northeast Texas. 23 years old, have a background in really ranching and farming, and didn't have any construction background or so, and also sixth grade dropout, so there's really no education behind, you know, this business that we've created, and really just happy to be on the podcast.
Hey, appreciate you being here.
Kyler Croft. I am originally from Arkansas. Got in the industry by building a 12 by 16 shed. Like I said, I came from ranching, did a little bit of roofing, bigger, you know, the commercial roofing side. I did a little bit of that, but most of growing up, like him, I have a seventh grade education. So like I said, the business, we don't really have a business background. My dad did, you know, had his own business, had his own cow farm. We did, you know, did a lot of ranching, some chickens, stuff like that. But really had, you know, coming from the construction or the shed industry, really had none of that. But, you know, what you're seeing here all started with, you know, going to Lowe's, buying lumber for a 12 by 16 shed. And here we are, you know, 5 years later.
Yeah, it's funny how it works out. Everybody's got a story. I always say everybody's got a shed story and a shed journey. Like some people do grow up, you know, second, third generation shed builders, or they've been around somebody who's been building sheds for at least a long time, an uncle, somebody, so they saw the business and how it went. You guys said, no, we're just going to jump into this full-fledged, and now we're setting in what was the size of this building?
So the office that we're sitting in is a 15,000 square foot, two-story glass office. Out back is 56,000 square feet, and an additional, so it's 100 by 350, so do the math there. Just back concrete that we use to set the homes on and stuff.
So much for seventh and eighth grade education. Right. Huh? That tells you all you need to know.
It'll get you a long way.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you know, my dad, very similar. He was self-made in that respect. He had I think it was sixth grade education back then. Of course, he had to help the family chop wood. So like he quits his, you know, schooling and starts doing that. But he was self-taught, you know, like he's a really good mechanic. He could, you know, pull a transmission out, put it back together in 45 minutes, right? Yeah. You know, and I'm like, wow, I could never see myself doing that. And then I look at my son, you know, and like how he's been able to adapt to like technology and just different things, mm-hmm. so much different than, and I'm this transition in between, you know, my son, I'm constantly saying, hey, teach me this. Whereas with my dad, I like to tell the joke that I pulled up a menu on a QR code one time and now my dad thinks I'm a wizard. So it works out pretty good. He's able to teach himself, and you find that a lot of successful entrepreneurs and business people, you know, education's not always at the forefront of their success, you know, mm-hmm. like all of this massive standardized education and university and things like that. So it seems like you guys are doing really, really good. We want to get some pictures of the building and some stuff out back. And, if that's okay, we'll throw it on for those that are watching on YouTube. So, so what's it been like? Give me the skinny on the last 5 years. What's it look like for you guys? I'm trying to use cool words because you guys are younger than me. Sorry.
Maybe we're some of the youngest ones in the industry, but I, you know, going back 5 years, you know, you asked the question, you know, how did it get, you know, to this point where we're sitting in, you know, you showed up and you're like, oh my goodness, this is actually, you know, it's actually something pretty big.
Nice enterprise. Yeah.
You know, I said we could have a 15 or 30 minute conversation on, you know, how do you get to this point? Mm-hmm. And I could really tell you it's, you know, back then starting out, like I said, I didn't have no background in sheds. I didn't have any background really in construction at all, but it was really just of me wanting something better for my life, and I knew that there was something more out there. And I didn't, at that point, you know, I didn't see all the bad stuff that was going to happen or the roadblocks or anything. I just, you know, put my mind to it, and I'm going to get it done. Back when I built the first 12 by 16, I didn't even have a plan on how to, you know, deliver it to the customer. But that's where a lot of stops a lot of people from, you know, going into, you know, following their dreams or doing that thing they always wanted to do, was they never get started. You know, did I have the education? No. I just went and applied what I knew, and I figured it out along the way. So that's really what we've been doing over the last 5 years, is learning every single day, getting better. You know, competitors or no competitors, we don't really look at it like that, but we just, like, currently all the time surround ourselves with the right people, the scaffolding that gets us, you know, the people that have done it in business, the people that are, you know, they're way above, levels above us. So there's, you know, there's levels that you climb every single year. If you want a goal that you want to get to here, who are the five people that you surround yourself with? So really, the last 5 years, you know, getting him in 2020, you know, getting him in then, and he, you know, to help me do some of the stuff. Back then, it was just me, my dad, and my younger brother was really doing the deliveries, the sales, the, you know, the manufacturing, making sure that lumber was ordered, you know, every little, you know, every step that goes into it. But just learning those steps and getting in the business, knowing your business. And I always say, you better know your business better than, you know, anybody that works for you. Uh-huh. If you're not constantly learning and getting better, and to, you know, if your vision is not bigger than the whole enterprise, all your team, if their goals and their vision cannot fit inside of your vision, your goal, you're probably going to lose some people. You're going to lose them along the way. They're going to drop off, or they're going to go work for someone else. They're going to go work for your competitor. But when you can have a big vision and a big goal like we have here, we got big vision, we got big goals, and we're young. So we're super young. We're passionate about helping people. You know, we're not just passionate about, you know, just building sheds, but it's really building people up. You know, the people that show up here every day, we get to change their lives. We get to change their family's life. And that's really how we got here, is by investing in other people to help us get where we're at.
So Saddlebrook, and it literally says building dreams, transforming lives. So who come up with that? What was the thought process that came to that conclusion on that's what you want your tagline to be? That's what you want people to remember for Saddlebrook?
So I actually came up with it. I'm, you know, I don't have a marketing degree, and you asked earlier who does your marketing when you're looking at it.
Yeah, I was
so directly
talking immediately. I was like, "Gosh, I want to work with you guys right off the bat." Said, "You guys are young, you're hungry, you're going for it." So go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
And you know, first, I just want to say again, thank you for having us on. But secondly, you know, you asked your first question, "How did we get here?" And you know, my story is a little bit different than his, because I was actually 2020 when I came in. I was, you know, 20 years old. Didn't know anything about management, leadership, or any of the above. Kyler then went into the delivery. We started a logistics company that he ran as well. And I'll get to your question about the building dreams, transforming lives. But I feel as leaders in this industry, and being in the industry with others that are in here, we get stuck doing the day-to-day stuff. And so in 2020, that was me. You know, I got stuck building, you know, it was just another shed. It was, you know, managing people, but we weren't really getting anywhere, you know, and you just feel stuck. You feel like you're doing the same thing over and over again. And I call it insanity.
Yeah.
So, you know, you really feel like you have big dreams, you have big goals, but you don't know why you don't get there, because you're working harder every single day, but you feel like you're in the same place a year later, right? And that was me. So I still remember the day I got a phone call from a lady named Stacy, and she was looking for some tiny homes. And that conversation turned into a two-hour conversation, which later hired her as our coach. And I say that to say is, you know, it's called scaffolding is what I call it. And in business, you know, you grow your business in a way to where, you know, you want it to expand, you want it to grow. And my philosophy was, if I keep doing the same thing I've done last year, the year before last, I'm not going to get anywhere. And so talking with this lady, she started, saw my marketing, called me, and went into a 2-hour conversation. And she's a business coach, and we started talking about coaching and really what she does and what we do. Went down there, met her at her ranch and stuff. And to say is, you know, I think business owners don't have the scaffolding around us to say, you know, what does it actually take? What kind of people do I need to be talking to and asking the right questions versus just saying, I'm going to keep doing the same thing. I'm going to keep working harder, thinking that it's going to get a different result, but actually you're going to burn yourself out at the end of the day. And so really, you know, our success here and why we grew so fast and are still growing, you know, it's called the 10X model is what we call it here. And like Kyler said, if my people in here, let's say they have a set amount that they have to make or they want to make their own goals. Well, if me and Kyler's dream isn't big enough to fit everybody's goals and dreams in that pot, in that circle, then my circle's not big enough. And so you have to look at my circle and say, who do I need now outside of my circle to expand my circle? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Everything you're saying does.
And so not, you know, I'm a sixth grade dropout, but I think I'm, you know, we now invest very, very high figure thousands of dollars in coaching, but it's to get to the next level and learn, you know, what the industry calls for, learning everything about the industry, learning about our people, how to be a better leader, how to be a better communicator, all of these things that 5 years ago weren't around. But now, to even grow any business, you have to learn all of these new things, and you have to surround yourself with people that have already been there and have already done that, because my goal has to be now big enough to fit every single one of my employees in there and some, because I'm wanting to keep growing. If you add one person, my goal has to get one step bigger. Does it make sense?
Absolutely.
And so that's when, you know, we hired multiple coaches, and we told them, listen, we have, you know, we're young, we don't have the knowledge, we don't have the education, and we definitely don't have the experience because we're only 23 and 25. And so I said, what I want is I want to learn to be the best leader, best communicator, and best, really, best leader that I can possibly be. Mm. And not only for me, but who, you know, who I surround myself with, who I lead, what difference am I making in their lives? Because if I'm a bad leader, all of my people underneath me, number one, are going to leave, or they're going to be miserable at their jobs. And so it comes back to my tagline is to say, building dreams, transforming lives is not only am I changing the people that I interact with every single day here at the office, my employees, but I want to teach my employees, how can I change every single one of our customers that come in here and leave with a better life, better communication, and better business for this industry, that they have a better appreciation for this industry. And so, and to say that is better customer support. It's really not a secret in business.
Yeah.
You can go outside of any business and you grow it the exact same way. There's really not a secret to, if you want to be at 100 million, or if you're only starting out and you want your goal to be 1 million, chances are there's people that are out there that have already done billions of dollars and they know how to get there, but you don't want to, you spend money on everything else but coaching, and coaching on yourself, because you think, well, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? And so I'm here to tell people, you know, if you want to get to the next level, you have to invest in yourself first. Mm-hmm. That's the first start. If you want to be a better leader, if you want to expand your company, it's not going outside and looking at the competitors and saying, well, they're doing that, I'm going to do that. But it's looking inside and saying, what do I need to change to be a better human being?
Yes. Do you possess the constitution inside yourself?
Correct.
To do better?
Mm-hmm.
Do you possess the will? Do you possess the integrity? Mm-hmm. Do you possess the motivation? And what happens when motivation runs out? You know, I know maybe the audience wouldn't appreciate his language, but I'm a big David Goggins fan. You guys are Goggins fan?
We are.
Goggins fan.
Yeah? Like, I mean, what does he say? What happens when motivation runs out? Then
right.
What do you do? And it's like, it's what? Discipline. You know, because I've been a big fan of motivation. I love motivational speakers. I love to listen to Les Brown. I love to listen to, you know what I
mean? John Maxwell.
Them. Yeah, Eric Thomas. I mean, so many of them. And I'm like, you know, Jim Rohn. I'm like, that's good. But then what about when I wake up one day and my motivation has failed? What about the day that I wake up? My marketing partner, Dylan, he used to say, you know, whenever I don't feel like getting up in the morning, he said, I'll count down from five. I don't remember where he heard it, but he's like, I'll count down from five and I don't leave myself a choice but to get up after one. Mm-hmm. There is no other choice. The choice isn't to lay there. Right. It's the discipline to say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get up. Even if you don't feel like it, if your eyes are all, you know, the covers are all nice and warm, it doesn't matter. You know, you get up and you go and you begin your day. It's the discipline that you possess that's necessary.
Are you ready to elevate your shed business to new heights? Your pathway to success just got a whole lot smoother with ShedSuite's innovative marketing platform. At ShedSuite, we like to think we understand the shed industry at least a little bit. And over the last 7 years, we've been building awesome software for shed businesses. We focus first on building easy-to-use software to help you create and track orders, like the point of sale and after-the-sale order fulfillment. And now we're excited to announce our full-feature CRM, all things pre-sale, you know, like prospecting and follow-up, all to empower your shed company to market better and sell more efficiently. Our platform empowers you with a marketing toolkit designed to amplify your online presence, engage your audience, and drive sales like never before. Enjoy the ease of conversion tracking, email marketing, centralized lead communication, and so much more. Oh, and guess what? It even comes with an iPhone and an Android app. With ShedSuite's marketing platform, crafting and deploying effective marketing campaigns is a breeze. The advanced reporting functionality allows your team to analyze real-time conversion data so you can make informed decisions and watch your business flourish. There's no better time than now to join the community of shed business owners who are scaling up with ShedSuite. It's time to turn your marketing efforts into real, trackable results. Visit ShedSuite.com/marketing to get pricing, explore the features, and book a demo. ShedSuite is committed to building top-quality software to empower your shed business to thrive.
Huge Goggins fan whenever he talks about discipline. Now, am I practicing all of those? No. Am I fitting all of those into my daily routine? No. Am I failing at those? Yes. But I think you got to be able to look yourself in the eye sometimes and admit that too, because you're never going to change if you don't admit that there's not some failures. If you're like, no, I'm doing well. I know they're there and I know that I can't change them all overnight. And those might even be excuses that I find comfort in. You know, to not exercise or to not eat well or whatever it is. You know,
I think that was the biggest thing that me and him had to realize is investing in ourselves. If we want to have the best customer service, if we want to have the best customers, if we want to have the best people work for us, it all starts with leadership. It all starts with us. So we knew we had to up level to become a better person. If we want someone else to go work out at the gym or have good habits or have that discipline, you've got to be the person that starts it. You know, you might have one or two people slowly start to, you know, see like, hey, I like that you're working out in the gym. I like that you're getting your health up, because there's, you know, one thing that we're passionate about here is I'm passionate myself is health. Like, how good are you taking care of your health? Yep. You know, as business owners, health is, I'm telling you, you know, if I could give you $1 million, but you'd have to die tomorrow, what would you do?
Right.
You know, it would be health over all, you know, your business, your, you know, because health is very, very important no matter, you know, no matter what. And that's, you know, it starts with being, you know, starting with the small stuff. You can start by creating those new habits by, you know, making your bed, or, you know, you're stacking those small wins, and then you're starting to tell your mind, hey, I've got that self-control and I've got that discipline. So really back to him when he said, we're investing in a coach. We knew in order to grow a big business or to have peace and profits, instead of doing the MMA, the money making activities, and doing the profit making activities, we had to invest in ourselves. And so when we found Stacy, that's when we were like, you know, it's eye opening. Why would you not invest six figures or eight figures or whatever it is into yourself if you knew the ROI? Yeah. You know, they say that you get, you know, you invest $100,000, the ROI is 1,000%. So why would you not want to invest in yourself? Because you are the only thing that's stopping you from getting that big business, or, you know, you can get, you know, distracted from all the other businesses out there doing this, and you want to be that, but the biggest thing is you can't, like, you know, somebody else's chapter 24, you can't compare your chapter 1 to someone else's chapter 24.
That's right.
And I think that's where, you know, that's where I got confused, is I wanted to be there, but I'm over here.
Yeah. No, you got to take care of business at home first. What do you think keeps people from making that leap? So like there's obviously something that exists in you that, you know, for you, it was Stacy, but what I'm saying is, like, what do you think it is that keeps a person from making the decision, today's the day? Yeah. I'm going to take control of my health, or I'm going to take control of my eating habits, right, or my business acumen. I'm going to focus on being a better communicator. I'm going to read more, but, like, stay the course. Like, what do you think keeps them from making that choice?
One day or day one. One day I'm going to do this. One day I'm going to start this. One day you get that in your mind, like, you know, New Year's resolution. I'm going to start this January 1, or I'm going to do this now. Why not make the decision and just go do it? Go start the business. When I built the first shed, did I know how to do it? Did I figure out delivery? Did I figure out, you know, every step that goes into it? You know, we're talking about the shed industry. There's from the building, you know, ordering materials, you know, from the customer to sales to marketing. There's a lot of steps that I didn't figure it out, but it was day one. Mm. You start. You don't have to be perfect. You just jump in.
Yeah. Sounds a lot like going to church, doesn't it? Sometimes you don't need to be, you don't need to be healed.
Comfort is the enemy. I mean, you have to, you know, for me, you know, we push each other every single day. If, you know, we have a thing, if we're, like, have a resolution that we want to change, and if we don't do it or do something against it, we have to do 40 push-ups.
Oh, okay.
So every time that we hear accountability, something, It's accountability. And, you know, it goes back to, you know, what drives you as a person? You know, what, I mean, a lot of people like comfort. I mean, I like comfort. I like sleeping in, right? I like eating junk food, right? But comfort is really the enemy. And, you know, I had to learn, and my coaches always tell me, I have to become comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm. You know, when you go into a room and, you know, if let's say you go to a John Maxwell event, just for instance, or any other motivational event, but you sit at the back of the room, but you don't take notes. You really want it, but you don't want it. You know, show me a person that is at the very front row. It's always, you know, we have a saying, early is on time is late, late is unacceptable.
Yes. Use that whenever I worked in drug, alcohol rehabilitation efforts. It was 5 minutes early is on time.
Right.
That's what we used to always tell them all the time. So, sorry, go ahead.
But people have a choice. And, you know, I always, our human nature is we always like to choose comfort over uncomfortable.
Right.
And so it always goes back to, I mean, you have to make a choice. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to acquire your dreams today versus tomorrow?
Yeah.
Like he said, it's either day one or day, you know, one day or day one. It's not one or the two. It's you don't pick the middle. You can't work out one day if you want to be healthy and eat bad food the next.
Is this an appropriate time to tell you guys that the previous podcast guest had a dozen of donuts sitting there for me whenever I showed up?
I'd probably kick them off the table.
They know how much I've talked about donuts, and they were so nice. And they were like, hey, we got you some donuts because we know how much you like them. I'm like, oh, man, I love these people. But that's not feeding me well, right? That's not doing what I should be doing.
I'm not here to preach about health.
You're good. You're good.
I'm here to share my experience and what works for me and what doesn't.
Yeah.
I like to feel good. I mean, I don't like to be at work and feel tired and groggy and head, you know, you have your brain fogs. But you can't focus as a business owner if you're in that state.
Yeah.
And so I had to ask myself, is what's more important to me? Is it feeling good, or is it having that, you know, monetary, like, feeling or taste, or, you know, going to the gym? It's not being at the gym. It's getting to the gym.
Yeah.
And so what really my question to really all of the followers on here that's listening is, what's really holding you back? Mm. You know, there's not a competitor that's holding you back. I'm not holding you back. It's you.
Absolutely.
You know, this is what I call the 10X growth leap. And if you read the book, it's a good read on any business. It's called 2X is easier than 10X.
10X.
10X is easier than 2X, yes. And in that book, it talks about, you know, 2X is just doing something more. It's doing something a little bit more. So if you're, let's say if you want more sales, you're going to, you know, increase more dealerships or something like that. But 10X is, let's say your goal is $1 million a year. My question to you is, how do you get $1 million a month? And so what that, your state of mind changes.
Oh, for sure.
And so it goes into another effect of creativity. It goes into effect because I can sit here all day long. I mean, I haven't looked at other people's sheds that much, but I can say we probably build them all the same.
Yeah, most are very similar.
Right.
I mean, 90% of it's going to be similar products. I mean, for the most part. And I would think from the average customer, they're going to identify them very similarly. Mm-hmm. You are going to see some obvious differences. There's going to be some major advancements in quality on certain parts. But you're right. I think, by and large, the average outside the industry customer would identify them as a similar product.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's really not the difference. That's the product really never separates a company. It's who leads the company. It's how are they investing in their people. It's the people inside the company that make the company. You know, how is your customer experience? How do you meet and greet customers at the door? Or, you know, are you even there at the door? You know, how's the experience that, you know, how you make them feel is how they buy from you. And so I always, you know, you have to, as a leader, you have to pour into your team over and over again. It's not just something that you do one day and, you know, think that you have the best team. You have to invest in them every single day like you're investing in yourself.
Even if they can mimic your shed nail for nail, cannot mimic your customer service because they're not there whenever you're actually working with that customer or whenever you're building. The word of the day is intentional. You're talking about being very intentional with everything that you do, all of your efforts. And, you're very intentional in the way that you follow up with that customer. You're very intentional on the way that you approach that customer, whether it's through your marketing efforts, whether it's through your advertising, whenever they show up to your lot,
right?
When they reach out,
how's
to
your
you
energy
on,
levels yes, when they absolutely. Show up to your lot?
How and you can control 100% of that, 100%. But you can control 0%. Of what somebody else is doing.
Right.
And whenever that mindset really like catches you and you understand it and it communicate, you know, people say communication is the key. Comprehension is the key. Mm-hmm. I can communicate all day long, but is it until you understand it and then you have buy-in and you have ownership. Like, look at me. You guys got me like motivated sitting here pounding the table on the podcast. Motivation. I love it, dude. I absolutely love everything that you guys are saying. We'll take a quick break just because I'm curious to know here. So who can do the most push-ups in one sitting? I'm just curious.
It's probably him.
You think you got him?
I probably got him.
Okay. All right. How many can you do? What would you do nonstop?
I'd probably do over 40.
You do over 40?
If I'm not like, you know, not just after a workout, you know, if I'm fresh and I haven't worked out all week on arms, like, so we just worked out on arms yesterday.
Okay.
I could probably easily do 40.
So got a little work to do. But that's okay.
He's coming. I'm very close.
He's gonna have you up within a year. He's gonna be there.
I finally convinced him to get in the gym about 3 months ago.
There you go. No, that's good. I like to have a little humor. Obviously, I feel like, you know, the Lord has a sense of humor. We try to have that on the show. We haven't even hardly talked sheds yet, man. Like, you guys have, you know, all kinds of so. The nature of your business, let's get into a little bit of those details. I love the rest of the talk. We come back to it as much as we can. An hour goes by so fast, guys, unfortunately, on the microphone. But what do you guys build? What are you trying to push out there? You know, whenever somebody sees Saddlebrook outside of the other things that you've talked about here today, what does your structure say about Saddlebrook?
Hello, shed sellers. Did you catch the latest Real Work Labs interview with George Converse? If not, don't miss this value-packed episode. Head to Shed Geeks Podcast YouTube and search Real Work Labs. George and the Real Work Labs crew are riding the wave of Google's latest updates, taking your digital presence to the next level. We're tech artisans crafting your neighborhood brand voice for shed sellers like you to stand out, gain trust, and get found online. Our software will easily capture your work snapshots, videos, weave your craft's story, and get reviews all in one virtual experience. Our innovation goes beyond getting found for your business location, rather getting found for your work locations. Reviews intertwine with their corresponding job sites. When potential customers seek local expertise, you're the proven solution they'll find. It's high time to map your reviews and showcase your beautiful work in a meaningful way that builds trust in customers' neighborhoods. Ready for the journey? Visit shedgeek.realworklabs.com or call George today at 480-787-7575. Real Work Labs, elevating your trust, increasing your conversions, and getting you found where you work in the neighborhoods you serve, one shed at a time.
So we, you know, our structures is, it's different in ways. I mean, we always try to not only see what the shed industry is doing, but how can we bring more value to that? How can we be, you know, a leader changer that, you know, it's going to bring the market to it, and, you know, what the market wants, the market gets.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, right now, I mean, we're building a lot of sheds. We're building a lot of tiny homes, ADUs, modular homes. And, you know, the market right now is calling for affordable housing all over the place, you know, with Bidenomics, if I can say it on this show.
Sure.
You know, what that's
bots,
doing.
The bots are going to crawl it. AI is going to crawl it, and they're going to hear that term and shut me down. No, go ahead. I'm just kidding.
But, I mean, it's really no secret. What we try to focus on is what I call profit-making activities versus money-making activities.
Okay.
And so what I went and done the last 3 years is looking at not only what can we sell. I mean, we can build anything just like anyone else. But what I hate to see is we're making a shed that we only make $200 on, but we could make something bigger and not have as many customers, but make $5,000 on. So what I focus on is really what does PMA mean to me? It's profit-making activities. What can I, you know, companies, you know, when leaders get into a room and they boast about their numbers, it's, hey, we did $100 million. Hey, we did $50 million. Hey, I did $30 million. Hey, I did $1 million. That's all great to me. But what I really focus on is your profit. At the end of the day, you can do, you know, I know friends, not even in this industry, in the RV industry, that do hundreds of millions of dollars, but last year they broke even. And I'm like, why? Because why do all of that? Why have all of that stress? Why do anything without making a profit? It's really killing yourself. It's killing your family. It's going to make you not want to come to the office. You're going to, you know, your team will feel it. So really what I focus on is really what makes the most profit.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather sell one big unit than 500 small 8x10s just for the fact of, you know, how much bigger does your customer support team have to be to service 500 customers versus only making, you know, and you make, let's say you make $10,000, for instance. But let's say you do 20 units that make $10,000. How much easier is your life going to be managing 20 customers versus 500 or 100?
Yeah.
And so really that's what I try to do is not... It's looking at the bigger picture. And to me, it's, you know, what can I scale? What's the market calling for? There's all of these other variables to look into. But really what I focus on is the profit-making activities. What am I doing every single day? And then you look at your team and say, what are they doing every single day that makes the most profit?
You said something earlier that reminded me of something I seen recently that said, never confuse activity with progress. You know, and you can do that if you're not careful. You can have a lot of activity. You can sell 100 buildings and you can make no money or break even.
Right.
And then you ask yourself, why have we done all that we've done for nothing? Have you ever been around? I've been around those guys that they're always busy, but they never do anything. You're like, what is going on? This guy's always busy. This guy named Daryl, no one to have any idea who this guy was, but I used to work with this guy, Daryl. This dude sweat around the ring of his neck. Right. His shirt is always wet from like working so hard. And everybody in the whole organization was like, man, that Daryl, gosh, Daryl really works hard. Daryl's a good worker. You ever notice how much Daryl's always pitching in and helping out? And I was like, I'm going to watch Daryl for like a half a day and figure this out. And Daryl like ran from one place to the next. And I started watching him and I'm like, Daryl doesn't do anything. If you actually watch Daryl, he looks really busy and he never does anything, but it's the, appearance of being busy. And I think that you can get caught doing that with a lot of activity. Hey, we're here, we're there, we're going everywhere, we're making all these moves. And at the end of the day, you're like, oh, I don't know, guys, what's wrong? I don't see why we're not making profit or we're not ahead.
That's where we were at before we got into the coaching and all that. Is
you were a Daryl.
We were everywhere. You know, I was on the truck. I was, you know, ordering materials. I was making sure sales was going through. I was making all these little steps. Those, you know, the steps that can be done by somebody you hire in internal for, you know, $13 or $18 an hour, whatever that number is. But we thought that just being busy was going to get us to the next level.
Yeah.
And we were just, you know, keeping your minds busy. And I got to work 12 or 13, 14 hours a day. I'm going to become a millionaire or a billionaire, or I just want to get sales. But you get so caught up in the day to day that you really can't even get out of your business to work on your business. That's when we knew that there was no other way but to invest in ourselves and pay, you know, six figures, thousands of dollars on SOPs and, you know, processes, and to get us to the next level, get us really out of the business and to work on the business and really grow the business.
That's the difference in a leader and a CEO and the things you're talking about. It's definitely the difference in a boss and a leader. But what you're talking about is really being able to step outside of your organization and see it from a different perspective. You're in an echo chamber otherwise. Especially if you grow up in it. And I think that's why sometimes people put those glass ceilings on them that always look attainable and always look breakable, that they never seem to get through. And they're trying to figure out how to scale. They're trying to figure out how to do more. And it all comes down to something as simple as investing in yourself. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So what's some of the biggest lessons that you guys have learned in these last 5 years for investing in yourselves? What are the things that you would suggest? What's the best piece of advice you can give someone, listening today, who's a Daryl, someone who's trying to, they're just busy and they can't figure out why they're not able to scale? What would you advise them?
I would first look at your core values, who you are as a person. So at Saddlebrook here, our number one core value is Christ-centered. And so anything that I do, number one, points back up to him. That would be number one. Number two would be culture, because without a great team, you know, there was once a billionaire, I listened to one of his podcasts, and he said, take everything away from me except my top team leaders and top team, and in 3 years I'll have that back. And to that Daryl that's listening, it comes down to culture. That's why we created what's called the Saddlebrook Army. It's what kind of culture can we create here that's going to not only be us, but it's going to be a place to where people want to come work here. You know, you're only as big as your team.
Yeah.
You know, what type of person wants to come work for somebody, for a leader that doesn't have a bigger goal than themselves?
Yeah.
Because if not, they're going to go out there and do it themselves. And in reality, it's going to take them years to even get where you are. So why not invest in yourself, number one? Number two is why not create a great culture?
Yeah.
It's honestly not about the price of the sheds. It's not about the size of the sheds. It's about what you invest in the culture that your company has. Because if you have, let's just take the U.S. military, for instance. If they wouldn't all get trained the same way, if they wouldn't all be unified as a team, it wouldn't work. And so to create the culture, you know, you have to, number one, write down what culture do you want. Do you want a culture to where they show up late, leave early? Or do you want a culture to where they're, when your employees are here, they're where their feet are. They're present because they know I'm going to give 110%. Uh-huh. How much better as a leader would you feel? Uh-huh. And so really it comes down to company values and culture. I mean, your customers will feel it. It's really not about the prices and sheds and discounts and products that you sell. But customers, you know, really drive this business, because without customers, we wouldn't have sales, and without sales, we wouldn't have revenue to keep going. But people buy from people.
That's, man, preach. I'm going to put you guys on a podcast every week. Keep going. Just do what you keep doing.
But how many times are we as leaders investing in our people?
Yeah.
It's really, I'm still at fault. I don't do it enough. I'm preaching to myself.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing is I'm investing in me first. It's just like when you're on an airline. What do they say?
Take
do they
care say of put you first? Right?
Don't put your child's mask on first. They said put yours on first. Why? Because if you can't help yourself, you can't help anyone else. Yeah. And so that's my one thing to really say to the industry is it's 5 years ago, I believe, as a leader in any business, you only had to learn up to five new things in business to survive. Now there's a new pool that came out that said we as business leaders have to learn up to 10 to 13 new things in the next 18 months or we'll get left behind. Mm. And I think number one on that list is culture. It's will your people show up for you every single day?
Man, I love it. Guys, it's crazy to think that we're 38 minutes into a podcast. I want to generate some more conversation, but I want to give you guys a chance to ask some questions. So I may not have the answers, but I've been doing this for quite some time. Up first, say a few things. One, love that everything that you're doing is Christ-centered. Love that your energy comes through. You're young, and it honestly makes me feel young whenever I'm around you. And you guys are like, I went through the military. I remember coming out of basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri in 98. And I remember being 176 pounds, and I remember being able to run for days and how good that felt. And, you know, whenever you're around people who are young and motivated and inspirational like what you're doing, it just reminds me of those moments. It reminds me of those times, and it makes you think that you can do all that all over again. And, you don't just have the motivation to go along with it. You have the discipline that's necessary, and I feel that way, knowing you for a short time. Man, we talked about this a year ago. It's crazy that we just now got to get this on the podcast. It's taken me so long to make the trip back through Texas, and you guys are number 10 podcast on a two-week splurge through the whole state, where we've just had a great time talking to so many people. And a lot of the things that we're talking about today came up in different avenues, but to show up and see what you're doing, it's really inspirational. It's really awesome. But I want to give you guys a chance to have the microphone for a minute and ask questions, and we'll see what kind of conversation that generates. Do you have any questions that are podcast, shed, business, faith, related to family? It doesn't really matter. I'm a transparent guy, and you guys are too. So what questions do you have?
I mean, I have one. I mean, what would the listeners benefit the most? What's the number one struggling thing that the industry is going through right now? Since you go and interview all these people, like, what's the one thing that you think that we're all struggling with that we could get better as an industry to serve really the same customer base? Because if we as an industry can get better, we can even now up-level this industry to the next level.
Yeah, certainly part of your heart is shares a space with mine, and that I definitely want to do what's best for the industry. And it's easy to get caught up into thinking that I know what that answer is, but I really try to take a pull from a multitude of people, like you suggest, you know, podcast guests, people that are just friends in the industry, people I work with in business, people I don't work with, never will, but they're great friends and we still talk business. Excuse me. It's definitely hard to narrow down to one thing. Not to suggest that we have a lot of problems, but I maybe my view isn't big enough. Colton, maybe I haven't dreamed big enough to try and figure out what that one thing is. I think the industry's fragmented and it's going through a position of growth, but I think that growth is kind of like it's like tearing at the seams, right? And what I mean is you've got wholesale distribution, you have consignment distribution, you have owner operators, you have, you know, hired third party events, you have internal rent to own, you have third party rent to own, you have vertical integration, you have a very broken integrated company that might do this over here, that over there, and this over here. I think for the guys who are like trying to be trendsetters, and I would put you guys into that category very, very quickly. For the guys who are trying to be disruptors and trendsetters and things like that, and maybe not like challenge the status quo, but certainly challenge the tradition of the way that things have always been done. I would say, gosh, I would say if we could get more uniform, and I think maybe it's going towards that, whether it be RTO portfolios for sale because companies are like, I'm getting out of it, I don't want to have to do all these premiums, whether it's shed companies who are saying, I don't want to have to invest into SEO, CRMs, every other acronym you can think of, you know, do I want, I just wanted to be a shed builder, right? You know, and I got drug into the retail space, right? So, maybe they don't want to invest in those types of things. And maybe culture is part of that, you know, that won't support that idea. So I think if we could just get more uniform, I think eventually the industry will continue to grow. And of course, that's a very corporate answer. Because, small mom and pop might be like, hey, I just kind of want to build sheds, set them out by the road and do well. And why do I have to have a website? Why do I have to have all these things? Well, I'm not saying that you do. I'm not saying you can't survive. And maybe you're satisfied with that. You don't want to scale. But for the guys who have the BHAGs, the big, hairy, audacious goals, right, like you guys, you might say, hey, listen, I don't know how it's going to come together, but I want to do well. And we're going to invest in ourselves. We're going to put a big dream out there. And then we're going to work towards that dream because the end is in sight. And we set it out there in front of us to constantly work toward achieving. So I feel like that's what you guys do every day. You say, hey, we got this big building. Hey, we've got all these employees. Hey, we've got all these things going on. Those things should keep us motivated to come in every day because we didn't just grow it here. We actually set like this big target out in front of us to go achieve. So I think for the guys who are doing that, I think they're going to be the trendsetters. I think they're just going to take a bigger piece of the pie because they're just investing not just in their self, but in the, maybe it's the technology or maybe it's the, I don't know. I sound like I'm selling my own services here constantly, but maybe it's the marketing. You know what I mean? Like we've seen guys that don't even have dealer lots, yet they're selling multiple millions of dollars a year. So they're not investing that money in wood and nails inventory that's sitting on a lot somewhere. They've instead decided to invest that into technologies that might make them work, whether that's a 3D configurator, PPG ads, you know, meta ads, websites, you know, SEO, things that are, you know, branding. We talked a lot about branding when we first got here, and obviously you guys brand well. I do my best. I wear this, believe it or not, I don't wear this everywhere I go. Maybe I should, but I think uniformity, as much as that's a corporate answer and people may hate to hear that, I think the more uniform we could get, the better we could, to answer your question, I think it would better serve the public, better serve, because we talked about this. What do people say if you leave here and you go down to the local diner and you ask the waitress, where should I get a shed? And here you guys got on your shirts and you've done all this work, and maybe she just doesn't know who you are, and she says, I don't know. I'd probably, if I needed storage, I'd probably go to Home Depot or Lowe's. Mm-hmm. And you're like, whoa, no. Like, you know, we do that. But maybe they just don't know that yet because we haven't found that national brand to be able to do that. So I don't know if that answers your question, but uniformity would be my answer.
Yeah, no, so, it does.
Yeah, it's very corporate-minded. As much as I hate to see it go that way, every business does eventually. Every industry does seem to.
Here at Identigro, we have been providing custom nameplates for the shed and furniture industry for over 20 years. We are so pleased to know that shed manufacturers see the value in expressing their shed brand to potential customers using an Identigro nameplate. When you add an attractive decal to your product, you will more than pay for the cost with increased sales. Clients will not only be able to identify the shed brand, but it will help to brand and advertise to potential customers who can easily see the nameplate, and in many cases, find a phone number or website to shop for themselves. At Identigro, we are happy to continue to serve and invite you to visit our website at identigro.com or give us a call at 540-283-9193. You can even fax us at 540-283-9194 or visit our website by clicking on the Shed Geek newsletter, and then simply fill out some basic information for a free catalog or free samples. Thank you, Shed Industry, for allowing us to serve you in identifying your sheds. Identigro, identify your products, grow your business.
Do you interview the, as far as the mom and pops, like, what's your bro? Like, what's, who's your, like, pod, who's your ideal, you know, person to go do a podcast with?
So I start first, you know, you said you're God-centered. So I think you'll appreciate that. I believe that we're all made unique. I believe they're all made individual. In the beginning, God created. So one of the first things we know, if we read chronologically in the Bible, is that God's creative. It's one of the first things mm-hmm. you find out about his personality, mm-hmm. you know, so God's creative. And I think he's made us to be creative too. If we're made in his image. So for me, creativity is a big part. If there's not a way, create a way. If there's not a way, find a way. If you can't find a way, you know, look at all the ways that other people have done it and failed, that didn't work, and start marking those off as ways not to start. You know what I mean? So like, success leaves clues. That's a big Gary Vee thing, right? So, you know, I think that you can follow people and pick up on the parts of success that they have had. So like for me, whenever I interview, it really doesn't matter. I believe everybody has a story, and I believe that everybody's made unique. I believe everybody has a shed journey that they can talk about. One of the first things that a few naysayers said to me early on is like, how are you going to talk to somebody for an hour? Or how are you going to talk to somebody once a week or twice a week? I can do this 5 days a week, guys. There's so many people out here who have stories and mm-hmm. journeys and things like that that they can tell, that if they become comfortable and they're willing to open up, there's gold inside of that. And they're really not afraid to tell you because they're not afraid of their competition. They just got to be comfortable enough to sit down and know, hey, I'm not asking this because of personal gain. I'm asking this because we're building community. And that's what the podcast started as. And I want to keep it there. So I don't know I'll interview anybody, man. I think everybody's got a story. I don't look at somebody and say, oh, they're successful because they've scaled and they're vertically mm-hmm. integrated and they're selling, you know what I mean, $30 million a year in sheds versus somebody who's selling 1.2. Maybe that guy don't want to scale, but he has the opportunity to. But I guarantee you he has a good reason not to scale. But I promise you, if he's successful in his 1.2 and he wants to stay there, he's going to realize he's going to have to do 1.3 at some point because otherwise right. he's going backwards.
Yeah.
Right. So like, but if he's fine with staying in the area he's in and not selling to a larger organization or something like that, he's got some, they usually been in it for 40 years and those right. guys are, you know, they can probably pay for your building here with the money in their pocket. They just don't show it.
Right.
You know? That happens a lot of times. So yeah.
Where do you see the shed industry in, let's say, a year or 3 years or 5 years?
Definitely more online. I mean, I just, COVID ushered in, you know, the Amazon model for all of us, like really quickly, 10, 15 years earlier. And with an industry as conservative as we are, we're typically 10 to 15 years behind everybody a lot of times with certain things, and especially the embracing of technologies. It just seems to be getting bigger. You know, technology changes every 1 to 3 years, it seems like. You know, a new phone is old by the time you walk out the store.
Right.
So it changes so quickly that trying to keep up with a lot of that stuff might be frustrating, but it's actually commonplace to your everyday customer. Even if you're a salesperson, mm-hmm. you don't think it is. That's the way the industry chooses to buy. I think I read a statistic that said like 85% of people start their shopping online. You know, maybe if they're not buying a T-shirt, maybe there's an impulse buy where they're walking by and they buy right. You know, mm-hmm. hey, let's get some chewing gum. You know, they probably didn't, you know, Google that, right? But for the most part, if it's a industry like ours, like buying a tiny home, buying a shed, a major purchase, something that's fairly a decent sized purchase, they're going to start researching before they get there. So I think that people are just going to continue to do that. And then I think people are going to try to get in front of those people more and more before they even have the opportunity to come to a shed lot and just walk around.
Right.
You know, they want to instill a lot of confidence in them. I mean, I find that branding has worked well with the podcast because whenever I show up, sometimes people know me or they feel like they know me because they've heard my voice. They've listen to me talk. Sometimes I'll show up and they'll be like, hey, I just seem familiar. So for those who like me, which I hope is most of my listeners, they kind of just feel warm already. Like, I'm surprised that companies aren't doing more of that with like video campaigns and like warming you up to the face that you're going to see whenever you show up to potentially purchase something because they just feel like they have something in common. Hey, my name's Shannon. Hey, my wife's Deanna. We've been together since I was 15 years old. Hey, this is my son, Troy. He's 19. You know what I mean? That whenever they show up, they just feel like they know me.
Mm-hmm. You're building a relationship with that person.
Yeah, digitally.
Right.
Digitally. And I think that you can do that whenever you're story branding, when you're doing short form video content, when you're putting that out constantly. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm Kyler. Hey, I'm Colton. You know what I mean? These are the faces you're going to see. Tell your right. story. Build your brand with the community so that they feel like, man, those are the only guys I want to go to.
Right.
So I feel like that's the way the industry's going. I know that sounds suspect considering we're in marketing now, but I think there's
no, you're not.
I, there's
not
a reason wrong. I got into marketing too, guys. Like I didn't, you know what I mean? Because I felt like I saw it going that way, and there was good opportunity for us.
Right. So 100% agree.
Yeah.
What do you see as the shed industry? You know, COVID, a customer would just walk in and just buy whatever it's on the lot. I mean, didn't matter if they wanted red, and if they had black, they would still buy it.
Yeah.
What is the industry? What has it done since COVID? And then do you think that we've gotten lazy as an industry on our follow-ups, on our sales processes, and really now instead of a checkout dealer or a salesperson, now we're really having to sell. We're having to sell ourselves, not only the company we sell for, but really having to look inside and say, will this customer buy from me? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, what we've learned in the industry is, I mean, COVID came around. If you had 500 sheds on your lot, they would all sell.
Yep.
But now, like you said, customers are now shopping around online. Whoever gives them the best service, the best comfortability that they can see and feel trustworthy with, they're going to buy from that company. What is the industry like? Where is it right now? And then how can we be better as an industry to say, you know, we're going to be better follow-uppers. We're going to be better salespeople. We're going to have better communication skills. Where are we at and where do we need to go to be to that level?
Well, yeah, I mean, what is it? Wolf of Wall Street, sell me this pen, supply and demand, right? So like right off the bat, the one thing you're talking about is during COVID, there was so much government subsidy money available that it was easy to just go out and purchase. Now, with that being said, you know, that might have been, you know, there's going to be lulls, right? But, you know, that was a high,
right?
There's ebbs and flows. And we were, you know, we were certainly at a high point, you know what I mean, during COVID. And that came kind of simple. You didn't have to really sell. And that's just because the money was available. And then the sales came a little bit easier. Yeah, you do have to find a way to sell again. And I think that's where, you know, certain like e-commerce has the opportunity to move forward a little bit more, because I think if you can get in front of people and take a look at a potential checkout process for those who start to buy sheds online and believe in that process, I think there's a lot of potential there. In terms of follow-up, I mean, I think you guys have already figured out one of the biggest keys is that a lot of the industry doesn't seem to maybe do that. So it gives you a lot of opportunity. You know, are you building drip campaigns? You know what I mean? Like, are you building automations inside your CRM? You know, do you have automatic texts going out? Do you have phone calls going out? Do you have emails going out? I mean, we send out a newsletter twice a week. You know what I mean? So like a lot of people tell me like, yeah, I didn't get a chance to see that, but I do get your emails. Right. You know what I mean? And you know, I get emails. I don't know about you guys, but I get emails from tons of people from services we sign up for. Right. And that's the way a person might think about your situation. At the same time, they might be 6 months past coming in here. You might have followed up with them 10 times already. Average touch point is what, 7 to 10 or whatever.
Which is before. Going up now.
Yeah. So like a lot of folks, you know, it's easy to think you're bothering somebody when you follow up. So you have to play this balance between like, I'm a pushy guy, I'm not a pushy guy. So you have to always figure these things out. But generally speaking, if you'll follow up with people and be consistent, for those who are serious about buying, they actually appreciate your efforts as opposed to being offended by your efforts. Now, if you're a jerk, right, you know, and obviously if you're calling them every day and you're like, buy a shed, you know, it gets old. That's not the way a lot of people want to purchase. And I think there's a way for us to all do things. I think that there's some people who are much less comfortable with doing that follow-up, and they're fine with staying at the amount of sales that they've seen, and they're okay with that. But for me, it's just about reminding them. You know what I mean? Like you want your brand to be out there constantly. So if you guys are having a sale, there's nothing wrong with throwing a drip campaign out there, you know, in an email blast or something like that, where they're seeing you constantly. Because if they don't like it, they'll unsubscribe. Or if they don't like it, they're going to spam your email anyway, right? If they get tired of it, they have options. You know, you can text stop. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because you don't want to get these notifications anymore. But you're not leaving anything on the table whenever you're turning over every rock. At least you're putting the control back in their hands to say, I'm not interested, stop. I'm not interested, spam. I'm not interested. You know, we'd be discouraged if you guys had seen how many people's unsubscribed from the show. But we're encouraged by how many people we've seen sign up for it. So if we took one example and used it as the norm, we'd be pretty discouraged, wouldn't we? Because we'd be like, oh, no, this guy said he didn't like the show. Oh, no, this guy said he didn't like my buildings. This guy didn't like the way I talk, the way I look, what I said, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. If you let that get through to you, you're never going to find that next level of success because there's way more opportunity on the other side. Everybody gives up the last dig before they hit the gold. That's just usually the way it is. And you got to convince yourself that it's always the next one that's going to get me.
The power of one more.
The power of one more. That's right. I love it. I can talk to you guys all day. I love this. This is just, to me, it's just like a coaching session. It's really good. I'm encouraged by it. Anything else? You guys good or any questions? I don't have anything, man. I love talking to you. I want to do this again sometime.
We're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I love obviously driving down here, but yeah.
We didn't get the chance to go over much shed talk, but you know.
You know, Shed Geek podcast, right? It's all about sheds, but in reality, man, it's about people.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said earlier with your sales process, it's about faith, family. It's about business. It's about entrepreneurship. It's about dreaming big. It's about faith. You know what I mean? It is about sheds and tiny homes and chicken coops and carports and post frame and all that good stuff. But I think there's so much more conversation to be had than just maybe going through the detail of our jigs and different things. Those are all important. Those are very valuable things to the business. But I think for the most part, the things we've discussed here today, I think really reach people and they understand them. So appreciate you guys being on today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm a big fan of prayer. You guys care if we close out?
No, go ahead.
Prayer? I wouldn't think you would, but we'll just do that. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with Kyler and with Colton today. I ask that you'd bless them and their business, all their endeavors. I ask that you keep them motivated and disciplined in all of their efforts as well. I ask that someone to be blessed from their conversation that they had with me here today, that you would take something to do good with it, that only you can, and that we can know that it was only because of you being a sovereign God that these things can move forward and these opportunities exist. Just ask that you'd bless the industry in general. Help us to be better servants for you in what we do. Help us to be better at serving our customers and even serving each other in the industry. Give us a spirit of cooperation and a spirit of kindness as we move about talking to each other and in our daily activities. And ask that you just bless all the upcoming events, the Shed Holler Bash, the barbecue, the Four State Barbecue in Oklahoma, and all the events that will be going on this year. Ask for safe travel to and from. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Welcome back to another episode of the Shed Geek Podcast. This is Mo Lunsford of Union Grove Lumber. We would like to welcome you to the Union Grove Lumber Studios. Hey, we're this year's studio sponsor.
And this is your host, Shannon Latham. Here at the Shed Geek Podcast, we give you education you can use and entertainment you need.